I suspect you've heard this expression before. God is good all the time. Nobody knows where that expression originated, but it's very popular among our Black brothers and sisters in their churches. And in those settings, quite often the leader will say to the congregation, God is good. And the congregation then responds, says, all the time. And then the leader will say, all the time, and the congregation shouts, God is good. I dare you. Let's try it. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Hallelujah. Doesn't that feel great? It is so, it's theologically true. And it's comforting. That quote is not in the Bible, but the Bible is filled with concepts that support everything that we've just said in those words. And I think that probably during our best days, we sincerely believe it. But what about our worst days? We all have those. Do you still believe it when things are challenging and things aren't going well? Or do you doubt it? Someone said that we can profess it loudly on our good days and then claim it on our bad days. There you go. Claim it when things are not going so well. Maybe not quite as loudly as you did when it was going well, but claim it. Let me ask you this. Do you agree with the Apostle Paul when he said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord in the good times. I will say it again, rejoice. Do you agree? That's too bad because he didn't say that. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoice in the Lord. And then he added this, I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. And you know what's remarkable about that? He wrote those words while he was in prison, while he was chained to a wall, while he was helpless, while things seemed hopeless, he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. So the question is, are you grateful to God even during the challenges of your life? I heard about a Sunday school teacher who asked the children, what were they thankful for? And one of the little boys said, I'm thankful for my glasses. And the teacher thought that was kind of strange. And she said, well, why are you thankful for your glasses? And he said, well, it keeps the boys from fighting me. And it keeps the girls from kissing me. God's good all the time. Regardless of where you are in your mind today, regardless of where you are in your heart today, regardless of where you are in your spirit today, regardless of where you are in your body today, God is good all the time. And what God does is good all the time. That's also theologically true. Just look at the creation account. 6 times God himself said, it is good. And one of those times, he even said, it is very good. Hallelujah. Confession. Confession. When things are sunny in my life, God's good. When I am healthy, God's good. When I've got money left over after I've paid my bills, God's good. But when it rains, and when my health is not so good, when my finances are a concern, I think I don't want anybody to intrude on my pity party. How dare people raise their hands and sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow, when I'm having a hard time? I can be very self-centered. I know that. And when I think about that, I have to remember, I'm not in prison. I'm free. I have to think, I'm not hungry. I'm full. I have to think, I'm reasonably healthy. My debts are under control. And oh yes, I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and I have eternal life with God to look forward to. What's wrong with me? Oh, I know what it is. The devil made me do it. You see, the devil just absolutely hates it when we affirm our faith in God. The devil hates it when we affirm the truth of God's word. He hates it when we say God is good all the time. So all of that is preparation, background for today's scripture. We are faced with a passage today that has challenges galore in it. It's a passage that also the devil hates. And it's a passage that we need in our lives. And you can follow it on the bulletin if you wish. It comes from the honest pen of a shepherd, David, whose very life was in danger because Saul, out of his jealousy, was trying to kill David. And David wrote these words in Psalm 34 under those circumstances, and it begins with these words, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. He wrote that while his life was in danger. Question, is there ever a time in your life when you can praise God too much? No. Question, is there ever a time in your life when you can praise God too little? Yeah, all the time. All the time. David was the same way. But boy, did he ever challenge himself in his circumstances and us when he says, come to the party. This is verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Come to the party. And he said, let us exalt his name together. Together. What a glorious call to worship that is. I mean, maybe we should say it every Sunday morning as a call to worship. No, maybe we should shout it every Sunday morning as a call to worship. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. One commentator said that these words of David reminded him of that great novel written by Daniel Defoe describing Robinson Crusoe's problems. Crusoe was shipwrecked and he was on a desolate island. And while he was there, according to the story, he made a list. And on one side of the list was a column called evil. And on the other side of the list was a column called good. Now, I don't know why I subconsciously looked at this side when I said evil and this side when I said good. I didn't mean to do that. And on the bad side of the list, he wrote, I'm in a desperate situation. On the good side of the list, he wrote, but I didn't drown like my shipmates did. On the bad side, he wrote, I have been banished from society. On the good side, he said, but I'm not starving. On the bad side, he says, I have no clothes to keep me warm. And on the good side, he said, but it's hot here. I don't need clothes to keep me warm. And he said other things like that in his list, but it's the conclusion of the list that matters the most. He concluded that there is not any condition whatsoever in life that is so miserable that there is not something good you can find in it if you look for it. How about you? How about you? How about me? When you greet one another here on Sunday mornings, you do that, don't you? You don't just walk in and come to your seat, right? You greet one another on Sunday mornings. If you're guilty of not greeting one another, try it. It's wonderful. And by the way, we've got some good huggers in here. I enjoy that. When you greet one another on Sunday mornings, what do you talk about? The negative things in your life or the positive things in your life? Do you come in here complaining about your aches and pains? Or do you come in here rejoicing in the fact that you are breathing and walking and you're actually able to come in here? David said in verse 2, "My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." He was saying, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now here's verse 4. "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from my fears." Brothers and sisters, fear is a faith killer. You listening? Fear is a faith killer. If you walk in fear, if you talk in fear all the time, you are broadcasting to everyone that your faith in God is shallow. Is that what you intend? Is that the message you want to give to them? No, of course not. Verse 5, "Those who look to him." Who is him? God. "Those who look to God are radiant." Radiant. Note to self, as we age, I'm turning 80 this Wednesday. I know I'm chasing a lot of you. You're above me. But, you know, look around the room. We have more rings on our trunks than a lot of people. Note to self, as we age, our faces droop. Our eyelids sag. Our mouth turns down at the corners. We don't smile as much as we used to because our teeth are turning yellow and some of them are cracked. You get the picture? Now, I have a prop. Turn the camera around and look at yourself. And sadly say, God is good all the time. Really? Folks, I have a vantage point that you don't have on Sunday mornings. I can see your faces. You can see mine, but you can't see one another. I can see all your faces. And I just find it amazing that some people can sing some of these great hymns of the faith, like Majesty, Majesty, and look like their faces have been embalmed. I can't understand that. One of my favorite expressions that I used for years with all the choirs I directed is, if your heart has found the message, notify your face. If you want other people in your life to see the joy of the Lord in you, you may need a spiritual facelift. That's what I'm saying. But you know what? It begins right here. It begins in your heart. It begins in your heart. I love this quote. Smile. God loves you. Try it. Smile at me. No, don't say it. Do it. Smile. Look at that. That's wonderful. I love that. This is a great... Oh, man. I should bring a camera out every time we sing one of those hymns, Elaine. David said in verse 6, he said, "The poor man called and the Lord heard him." I wondered what he meant when he said poor man. I looked it up. You know what the original meaning of that word poor is? Depressed. When the depressed man called, the Lord heard him. Wow. Even David got depressed. I confess that I've been known to get depressed at times. And I imagine everyone in here has had times when you felt down, when you felt depressed. It's a human condition. to feel that way sometimes. And the more down you may feel today, the more irritating this sermon may be to you. You enjoy eating worms. So just go right on and eat them. And when you get tired of eating them, you can stop and then you can say, the light will come out tomorrow or the sun will come out tomorrow. It will happen. It will happen. You're free to wallow in your misery as long as you want to. Or you can call upon God and his angels to help you. Aha. Listen to verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Do you believe in angels? I believe in angels. The Bible is filled with stories about angels helping so many characters in the Bible. Even David said in Psalm 91, beginning in verse 11, for he, talking about God, for God will command his angels concerning you. That's what it says. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Would you rather dig yourself out of your pit, or would you rather have an angel come along and help you come out of that pit? It's a choice. It's a choice. I also love what David said in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I like that word, taste. I think that's one reason I like a really good buffet. I like to taste things. But you know what? You cannot taste the goodness if you don't come to the table. You cannot savor the Lord God if you hold him at a distance. David said, come here, taste this. This is good all the time. I love it. He also said in verse 11, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, we are all children of God. But when I read that and I was preparing this, I thought of little children. And I thought of the fact many of us in here have children. They're probably grown now. We have children. Many of us in here have grandchildren. Many of us have great-grandchildren and nieces and nephews. Do you want those children in your life to taste and see that the Lord is good? I'm going to tell you something. The world is not teaching them that. The world is not teaching them that. And here's something else that said, sad, some of their parents are not teaching them that either. You may need to be the host. You may need to be the hostess of the buffet. You may be the one who brings them into tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Oh, I hope you do that. I hope you take advantage of that. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I wrote it for my grandchildren. I want them to see how God has been faithful to me in my life, and I want them to be able to taste the Lord and see his good. They don't need it. All my grandchildren are committed Christians, but they're going to have children, and I want them to pass this on. I want them to do what I'm asking you to do. I want you to go to those children in your life, those grandchildren, those great-grandchildren, those nieces and those nephews, and I want you to invite them to the table. I want you to share Jesus Christ with them. Don't leave it up to their parents. You do it before it's too late. It's getting later and later, isn't it? Do it. Receive everything that God has for you and give everything you have to God. Do it. Don't hold back. Come to the party and participate and do it with happy faces, smiling faces. You old grumps, huh? There was an elderly lady who was known for her strong faith in God. And she used to stand on her porch every day. And in this loud voice that could be heard all throughout the community, she'd say, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Well, her neighbor, another old lady, was an atheist. And she hated it when this woman came out and said, praise the Lord. So she went out on her porch one day, and in a loud voice, she said, there ain't no Lord. Well, the Christian lady started having some hard times with her money, and she couldn't afford to buy her food, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. And she went out on her front porch and she said, "Praise the Lord God, I need food. Please send me some groceries. Send me some groceries. Amen." Well, the next morning she went out on her porch and there were bags of groceries all over her porch. And she said, "Praise the Lord." And then the atheist jumped out of the bush and the atheist said, "Hey, he ain't the one that gave you that food. I'm the one that did that. There ain't no Lord." And the Christian lady said, "Praise the Lord. He provided me groceries and he made the devil pay for them." God is good all the time. God is good. All the time. Yeah. And as I read through this psalm and I was preparing the things that I wanted to share with you today, I was having some fun with this, as you can tell. But then this popped up. Verse 13. "Harry, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." Contrast that with verse 1, which says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." I shudder, brothers and sisters, to think how often I've strayed from verse 1 and been closer to verse 13. His praise is not always on my lips. And I have to ask myself, Harry, how many times have you allowed your tongue to speak evil or lies? I'm an ordained minister of the good news of Jesus Christ, but I have never completely learned to tame my tongue. Have you? That's when the third chapter of James flows to our heads, right? It starts by saying, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach are being judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man or a woman, able to keep his whole body in check." And you know where I'm going with this. This is James 3, verse 8. "But no man, no woman, no person can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Whoa. Now, let's get back to Psalm 34, verse 12. "Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." That is a challenge. I'm guilty. If you're not, then I'm also guilty of jealousy. Thank God for verse 17. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them." Claim it. The Lord hears them. "He delivers them from all their troubles." "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I'm especially thankful for the last verse of Psalm 34, which says, "The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him." Brothers and sisters, if there were ever a reason to rejoice in the Lord always, if there were ever a reason to proclaim his praises on our lips always, it's that verse. God redeems his servants. God redeems you. He has redeemed you. You. In 1738, Charles Wesley was lying in a bed, deathly sick, dying, or at least he thought he was dying. And he kept a journal. Listen to what he wrote in his journal. He said, "I was composing myself to sleep in quietness and peace when I heard one come in and say, 'In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and believe, and thou shalt be healed of all thine infirmities.' The word struck me to the heart, and I lay there trembling." Well, he was healed. He woke up the very next morning healed on Sunday morning, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he was so thankful for that experience that he wrote his first hymn. Later, he wrote over 6,000 hymns. But this is his first one. It's a hymn of praise that begins with these words: "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." And when he wrote that, I would not be surprised if King David himself were up in heaven dancing with a smile on his face and rejoicing and saying, "Yes, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have so much to thank you for. And we have so many problems and challenges that drag us away from thanksgiving and praise. It is our human condition. Thank you that you have risen above our human condition. And thank you that we can come to you and we can lay everything at your feet. And you are faithful and you are true and you are the healer and provider. And you will show the way. Hallelujah for that. Hear us as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.